You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! How you guys doing?
How do I compete with that scream? How is everybody?
No, I hope you guys are good, because it's time for another episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. You excited?
I'm excited. I'm always excited.
Woo!
Because as everybody knows, we bring them the best in sports, entertainment, and odd news, and whatever else we want.
Yes, this is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. I'm Rich Liebig.
And I'm Michael Costanzo.
And yep, that's exactly what we're here for. What we are here for.
I think I threw you off by doing that stuff before.
Yes,
we said our names.
The routine is off.
Sorry,
I'm losing everything already. Every time I have something ready, we keep going off on a different tangent, and then I have to go back and I lose it.
That was my bad.
And then I say stuff like that in frustration. So
yeah, but we get some of the best clips that way.
Yeah, you never know. You know
what we're gonna say.
Yeah.
This is so bad.
Like that.
Yeah.
That was so bad.
But, you know, it's the best part of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are unplanned, unscripted.
And slightly unhinged.
That's right. So you never know what will be coming up next on the Ben here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But first, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing pretty good. Just getting ready for vacation, actually.
Yeah, you're going on vacation?
Yeah, taking a short trip down to the beach.
Woo!
Kick back and relax for a little bit.
I can hear your mom preparing in the background.
Oh yeah, she's been cooking chicken cutlets like a mad woman.
Yeah,
you know, because we're Italian, so we pack all our meals before we go down to the beach.
Yeah, you know, it's not just you that's going down to the shore on vacation. You have a whole army coming.
Yes, I think we're 16, 17 people.
Wow, it is an army.
When we go down to Ocean City, we take over the town for just a little bit.
Yeah,
and it
mobilize the troops.
That's right. We're a caravan. No, seriously, it's gonna be like 5 cars going down, filled with 17 people, and like a month's worth of food because that's how we roll.
It might be tough to survive in the hazardous conditions of Ocean City, New Jersey.
I know. How will we survive without our chicken cutlets and I don't know what else they're making? A whole bunch of other stuff. Pasta.
Oh yeah.
Pasta. We're Italian, so it's just pasta. Different variations of pasta.
Wow. So there you go. You got a lot of things to ship on down there.
I just shipped my bed.
That's well, right.
You might even need to ship a bed too.
Well, we don't ship that much, but just about. But what's been going on with you, Rich? How you doing?
I've been doing pretty good.
That's good.
You know what? I actually have to mention a shout out. I have to give out a big happy birthday to my girlfriend Amanda. So This is what we do whenever it's a friend of the show's birthday. We have to sing the famous happy birthday song.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear
Amanda. Happy birthday, Amanda. I love you.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Happy birthday from me as well.
So there we go. Now we have the official intros out of the way.
Yes.
Should we dive right into the show?
Yes, we should. And as you know, our first segment, we like to do a little bit of sports.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
Woo, sports!
That's right. Our first segment is the sports sampler.
All right, what do we got to tease the appetites of our news listeners?
Well, first off,
did you like that?
Yes, I did actually.
I created that on the spot.
Very good. And now we're derailed.
All right, no, seriously, what's the first topic we got in the sports sampler?
Well, like you said, to tease the appetites of our listeners, we have something a little funny, just a little joke type thing to start things off with. Apparently, The Peyton Manning brothers. The Peyton Manning brothers.
The Peyton Manning brothers is like the Super Mario brothers. They're both last name is Mario.
Yeah. Yes.
What's your name? Mario. Mario. And what's your name? Luigi Mario. Oh, that's why they're Super Mario brothers.
That's right.
That's true.
Is it?
That's why they're called Super Mario brothers.
Is Mario really the last name?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Uh-huh. That's why it's legitimately Super Mario
it's
brothers.
It's Luigi Mario?
Yes.
I don't think that's true.
Yes, it is.
Hello, it's me, Mario. Woohoo!
Yeah, he's Mario Mario, and then his brother is Luigi Mario.
These are the dumbest names I've ever heard of. Well, I'll have to fact check that later.
At least in the movie it was. That's what it was. That's what they
really?
Said. Yeah, that's what they said in the movie.
Mario Mario.
That's why they can say Super Mario Brothers.
Wow. Well, what I meant to say was the man.
Hello, it's me, Mario. Woohoo!
That's what you meant to say?
Yes. Because, what are you saying? All Italians talk like Mario?
Hey, no. No, I'm not.
It's a me, Michael. I'm powered up now.
Yeah. There you go. Boy, this Crispy Noodle podcast is rough and tumbling right now. You've already had your one-up on your life, and
yeah.
I've already had three mess-ups in the first show,
first part of the show, so this is great.
We got a while to go, too. All right. So the Manning brothers, and this is only going to get crazier after I say this, the Manning brothers put out a music video where they rap about football on their telephones.
They rap?
They rap.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
Uh-oh.
So apparently if I ask this question for the Manning brothers, they are hip to the rap.
That's right. They are hip music. To the rap. That's right. They got together. Peyton Manning and Eli Manning got together and did a little TV commercial for DirecTV for a feature of one of their new phones. But enough of me describing it. Why don't we just listen to the Manning brothers in their hip-hop glory?
These hoes, they think they classy. Well, that's the class I'm skipping.
It doesn't sound like that, right? That's not
no.
my rap.
No, not your rap.
All right.
This is almost as good.
Okay, let's hear the Manning Brothers football rap.
Football on your phone.
It's football on your phone.
Uh-huh.
It's football on your phone.
It's football on your phone, that's what I said.
It's football on your phone, you can watch it in bed.
Take it. Wherever you go,
show your friends and watch them all go home.
It's football on your phone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's football on your phone. Wow.
It's football on your phone, so now's your chance
to have football on your phone and football in your pants.
Look at this guy using his phone as a phone.
Your phone ain't for calling.
Your phone's for footballing.
It's football.
What do you get when a football gets down with your phone?
It's football on your phone.
Uh-huh, yeah.
It's football on your phone.
Uh-huh.
If you're on a date with Simone.
Football on your phone.
If you're taking out a small loan.
Football on your phone.
When you're sitting on your throne.
Football on your phone.
When you're buttering a scone.
Football on your phone. It's like I spilled milk all over your blouse by accident or on purpose. It's like the milk is like football, and your blouse is the phone.
It's football on your phone.
Uh-huh, yeah.
It's football on your phone. Wow.
Football on your phone means football all the time.
Do you want that?
He does, she does, our dad does.
Wow, I don't really know.
Do you have football on your phone?
Not in that way that they're singing. I have no idea.
You're totally flabbergasted.
Yeah, because like it sounds like a love hip hop ballad or something.
Yeah,
but it's about football. Like, what the?
You should actually watch the video. Eli Manning is rubbing a football on a phone together. It's really weird. It's really weird.
Who thought that was going to be a good idea?
DirecTV.
Good job, DirecTV. Way to just.
So, what happens when a football gets down with your phone?
Sure, I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight. Then.
You introduce a Hot Pocket to the next.
You get Mike's bedroom, apparently.
Sure. I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight, then.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
But anyway, just something silly to start off the sports sampler. That is ridiculous.
Yeah. So
why did they do that?
Money.
Yeah, that's true.
Advertising deals. So everybody check that out. Football on Your Phone, starring the Manning Brothers. Go look it up on YouTube. quite a funny video.
All right, so just a little something silly to start off the Sports Sampler. But now we can get into some official news here in the Sports Sampler.
That's right.
Apparently, there's been a lot of injuries for this early in the first round of preseason, right?
Yeah, we're talking about part of the preseason where they're not even playing games yet. And a lot of players have been going down with injuries, specifically ACL injuries.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, a lot of players have, there's been a string of them throughout the league of players injuring their ACL. And usually, as we know in the football world, that is commonly a season-ending injury.
Yeah, that's not, those are three letters you don't want to see in the injury report.
That's right. So a lot of teams, the Broncos have lost someone, the 49ers, the Packers, but the Eagles, our very own Eagles, Rich, three ACL injuries so far.
Woo! Oh, great.
Wait, we're celebrating now?
Yeah, wait, that's not something for the, so we're leading in something we're not supposed to be leading in.
Yeah, no, we're not. Yay, we're leading in something. Oh, it's injuries.
Darn it.
Curse you, technology!
What?
What does this mean for the Eagles? I mean,
well, here's the scary part.
We lost Macklin. I remember that.
One of our big wide receivers, Jeremy Macklin, he's out for the year. He's done. But we've also lost one of our backup wide receivers, Aurelius Ben, one of our backups.
Uh-oh.
So we're down two wide receivers now.
And we didn't even start the preseason
and
yet.
We didn't even start the preseason yet. I know. Other players could go down. The big question, and of course, we're not going to get into it, but Riley Cooper is having his issues. So really, we're down almost three wide receivers.
Oh, my gosh.
Our starting wide receivers right now are DeSean Jackson and Damaris Johnson, I think. And both of them together weigh something like 350 pounds when you put them together.
They're not big guys.
No, very tiny. About 175 each. Neither of them are above 5'10". So there, of course, are questions. How are the Eagles going to be able to do this?
Yeah. That's going to be the question for...
I blanked on his name already. The head coach.
Chip Kelly?
Chip Kelly, yeah.
How does he handle... Yeah,
that's up to Chip Kelly now. It's on his plate. He's got to try and answer these questions.
Do you think they could go out in free agency and get a wide receiver, or do you think they'll just try and tough it out with the ones they have now? I don't know what the free agent market is like.
I'll tell you what. They might be better off trying to find a free agent right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's still early in the preseason. There's still time to work somebody into his new scheme.
There's going to be a round of cuts, as we all know. Throughout the preseason, they cut the rosters down. So a bunch of players will be cut by other teams.
Yeah, they have to get it down to 53 men?
53 men by the start of the season, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, even if you're not sure of a wide receiver, still bring him on, see what he can do.
Right, exactly.
And then if he's not living up to potential, then cut him before the season starts.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, to be down three wide receivers this early is pretty alarming.
Yeah, I mean, considering we were pretty iffy at that position as it was, you know, DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Macklin, while they're speedy, there's always been concerns over their size and their durability.
Yeah, and nobody's a big, tough guy here.
No.
Everybody here is built for speed.
Right.
So it's definitely alarming. If I was Chip Kelly, I'd be a little concerned.
Yeah, I'd be worried. He seems to be playing it, seems to be playing it pretty cool, though. They haven't really said much. They said they're investigating the field that it happened on because all three ACL injuries happened on one practice field.
Ooh.
So I don't know. Is it, like, cursed?
Yeah.
Oh.
Bringing you tales of injury-plagued veterans. It's training camp, Philadelphia Eagles style.
Could aliens be behind the injuries plaguing the Philadelphia Eagles?
We'll have to find out on our next episode of Haunted Fields. I don't know. That's the new Discovery Channel show.
Haunted Fields?
Haunted Fields.
Today we take you to a field in Pennsylvania.
Where three-star Philadelphia Eagles players have gone down.
Yeah, that might be interesting because a lot of battlefields they say are haunted.
Yeah.
I know this is like way off topic.
Yeah, and Haunted Fields. It fits.
Fields, yeah.
You know, that could fit.
I remember I took a fourth grade field trip to Gettysburg and that's all they talked about was all the ghosts.
Yeah. We could also see if there's any other sports fields that have
I meant like
stories.
Actual fields. Like an empty,
so we are agreeing. All right.
Like an empty field of grass.
You know who we haven't heard from in a while?
Who? Oh, no.
Buckeye Jerk here.
Damn you, Buckeye. What do you want now?
You see this field over here with that bell?
What about that field?
That's where all those players got hurt 5 years ago. The great crash of 2008.
I thought it was 2013.
No, 5 years ago is when all the players died. It was a horrible... Oh,
they died.
Yes, they died.
Don't you tell me what happened exactly, Buckeye Chuck?
Well, we were playing a game of pickup football, and someone mistook the football for a gasoline lighter, and the whole field just went up in smoke. And then the bell rang.
I don't know if that makes sense, but I will accept it.
And that's from Buckeye Chuck.
Well,
the bell knows what I'm talking about.
Of course, the bell is all-knowing and all-powerful. Thank you for enlightening us.
So, there you go.
So,
the new show coming out, Haunted Fields.
Haunted Fields, with the narrator and host, Buckeye Chuck.
Buckeye Chuck, yeah.
I'd watch it.
Keep an eye out. It'll be coming out in January 2015.
Wow. You know a lot about a show that's like so far away from being released.
Yeah. Well, Buckeye Chuck is our boy. We know.
Yeah, we have the inside scoop. That's true.
That's what happened.
So, well, thank you for that sneak peek of Haunted Fields with Buckeye Chuck.
That's boring. You're boring, everybody. Quit boring, everyone.
So, the ACLs are a big injury, but let's shift gears really quickly to baseball news. We have a couple of updates for people.
Oh, it's time for some baseball?
Yep.
Leroy Jenkins!
Ooh, apparently Leroy Jenkins is a big baseball fan.
Leroy Jenkins sounds like he has a little bit of roid rage going on.
Well, that would be appropriate for our next topic here. So this story is an update to a story that we covered earlier on the Sports Sampler a couple weeks ago. Alex Rodriguez has been trying to come back into baseball. Not only did he have an injury that he was trying to come over, but also he was linked into the Biogenesis steroid scandal.
Yeah, that's some messy business. I think him and, 18 or 19 other players got called out?
Yes. And the moment that Alex Rodriguez tried to come back for the Yankees as an active player off of the injury list, baseball decided to try and throw him a 211-game suspension.
Wow.
for his quote role in the Biogenesis steroid scandal.
That's
scandal.
An odd number of games.
Yeah, it's calculated based on the rest of this season plus a number of games that they wanted him to miss next season as well.
Okay, so 211.
Yeah, that would be the official number.
Okay, so that's about a season and a third, just about?
Yeah, I would say, but you have to think of it as starting right now.
Right now, yeah.
So it would be it would be the rest of the season and then probably most of next season.
Most of next season.
But here's the interesting tidbit, and this is why I had to put quotes on his, quote, role in this scandal.
Okay.
Because... The Major League Baseball Players Association has formally agreed with Alex Rodriguez's appeal to this decision, and he claims that he is innocent.
Oh, okay. So,
and while he is appealing the case, Alex Rodriguez is still allowed to play baseball. So, even though,
so can we do that for crimes then?
Like, well, I guess that's what bail is. You can post bail and you get to go free.
Yeah, but they don't let you flee the country.
No.
But Alex Rodriguez, even though he is under the cloud of an impending suspension.
Is he playing?
He is playing. He's back at third base and batting third for the New York Yankees this weekend.
Wow.
It's pretty stunning right now.
I think that's kind of messed up. That you can just say, I want to appeal, and boom, you're back in the game.
Yeah. Major League Baseball has declined any further comment on this issue.
Well, yeah, because it makes him look silly. But I mean, what good is it that they're going to bring the hammer down on these players and say, oh, we're giving you a huge suspension? He says, I appeal. Okay, well, then get back out on the field. Does that make any sense to you?
Well, I mean,
how can in one instance you be so strict, and then he says, I appeal?
Well, it's the players' union. That's what he...
But still, shouldn't he have like a probationary period or...
Well, I mean, because he's fighting the case. He's saying that he's wrongly suspended in this case. He did not have any...
Well, couldn't anybody do that then?
Yeah, I mean, and the same thing would apply. They would get the play.
So then it takes all the power out of baseball, out of MLB's hands, doesn't it?
For the time being, it does, but eventually they have to sit down.
In future cases, I mean, even if you're guilty, completely guilty, you could just say, oh, I want to appeal. And then you can continue playing until you're found.
Only for a little bit until... The big moment is that Alex Rodriguez and Major League Baseball will have to come together with an independent arbitrator, and there everything will be settled. And
so what happens if he's found guilty then? Well, does this make it look even worse?
Oh, yeah.
Should he have just taken the suspension then?
Maybe. I mean...
Because if it comes back the second time that he's guilty, they're not just going to lay those 211 games on him. They're going to try and... I mean, he'll be disgraced.
Yeah, I mean, he at that point, you might as well just tell him he can't come back.
Well, you know what's going to happen. And this is on the record, you can quote me on this, is that I bet you he's going to play out the season because of the appeals, and then he'll officially retire.
Yeah, just so he can avoid the
I have a feeling he's going to be found guilty, and he knows it, and so he's going to play out the season, he's going to retire. That way the suspension won't mean anything, and it won't affect him in that regard. Don't you feel like that could be where this is going?
Yeah, I mean, he's 38 years old, so
it
wouldn't
be anyway.
Yeah, wouldn't it be surprising if he just, you know, retired next year?
It's a save face move.
For most stadiums, Rodriguez has been booed since his return. Even when he was hit by a pitch in the third inning of a Yankees 3-2 loss last night.
I mean, so, no matter what you think of the guy, you shouldn't boo if he gets hit by a pitch.
So apparently, even the fans don't even seem to like it that he's on the field.
Yeah, I mean, he's not owning up to what he did. It's just another case of famous stars being able to get away with whatever they want to get away with.
Here's the official information.
Okay.
Rodriguez's punishment, the 211-game suspension, was supposed to begin today, but he's allowed to keep playing until the grievance is heard by the independent arbitrator, Frederick Horowitz. That's his name. And the official ruling will come in October or November.
Okay.
So, yeah, he can finish out the rest of the season.
Yeah. So it's going to be exactly like I said.
Yeah.
I bet you it's going to be exactly like that. Because at the end of the year, he'll probably be 39, right?
Yeah, well, starting next season, he'll be approaching 39. Yeah,
so he'll just retire.
Yeah. The other 12 players that were involved in the Biogenesis scandal all accepted 50-game suspensions.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So why was his suspension so heavy?
Number one...
He's a bigger-name player, maybe?
Yeah, number one, you're talking about the Major League Baseball's active home run leader right now with 647 career home runs.
Right.
And... One of the most well paid players in baseball as well,
and the biggest name,
and he's the only one fighting it. The other 12 right. players all accepted the 50-game suspension. So I mean, it doesn't look good for Alex Rodriguez.
No, it doesn't. Well, let this be a lesson. You know, don't do steroids.
Yeah, he might save face this season,
but
as for next season and his legacy. This might come back.
We had that conversation about what's worse, betting or steroids. I think it was, what was it, 2 weeks ago or one
last
week?
Last week.
Yeah. So again, his reputation after this, especially if he's found guilty again, will affect his post baseball career.
Yeah. The baseball union head Michael Wiener, who is helping out Alex Rodriguez's case, says that the punishment for Alex Rodriguez was, quote, way out of line. So. That's the official statement from the A-Rod camp.
Well, I don't know. He was suspended 4 times more than all the other players, right?
Yeah, all the rest of them got 50-game suspension.
And he got 211.
A-Rod has 211.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess maybe it was a little more than, you know, maybe he feels a little slighted. But if you're guilty, you're guilty.
Yeah.
You're not going to get away from it.
Yeah.
Unless you really are innocent, and I really don't think he's innocent.
Especially when you're the active home run leader right now.
Yeah. You can't hide under some rock.
Yeah.
You can't be forgotten.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see where that goes. Sad tale of Alex Rodriguez right now. Because either way, I think his legacy's tarnished at this point.
Oh, of course. I mean, we had that discussion last week, like we said, about the steroid era and the black mark on baseball. So hopefully this is the last we'll hear of it. But we
See. There, after this point, there's going to be no exception.
Yeah, the end of that era, it's getting to be the end of that era. And yeah, hopefully.
Because now baseball has put everyone on notice. If you're messing around with this stuff, expect 100 game suspensions. Yeah, you're exactly. Going to be on the hit list.
So, if of course, we will keep everyone updated if there are changes in the story.
Yes, we will. All right, and we got one more piece of baseball news, and this is local. Yeah. Some local Phillies action that we have to update everyone on. And it's about our second baseman, Chase Utley.
Ah, a fan favorite.
Yeah, fan favorite. Has stayed in Philadelphia all of his career. And guess what?
What?
He's going to stay for a little bit more. Chase Utley and the Philadelphia Phillies have agreed to a contract that will keep the five-time All-Star second baseman in Philadelphia through at least the 2015 season.
That is excellent news.
Yep. It will be a two-year extension worth $27 million for Chase Utley. It's great to see that he will stay in Philadelphia. And hopefully when he retires, it'll be great to see like the culmination of his career as a Philadelphia Philly from start to finish.
Yeah, a long and great career here in one city, our city.
Yeah, an integral part of the 2008 World Series run.
Oh my gosh, he was phenomenal that year.
Yeah. Utley is turning 35 at the end of this year, so he's also coming near the end of his career, but he could have
a few more years.
He could have a good year or two left in him.
Yeah, depending on how the knees hold up.
Yeah, it's all about his knees.
Years, yeah.
just like me.
Bad knees, man. It's all about the knees.
Oh, I know. They're a killer.
Yeah. Chase Utley has said, quote, "I love Philadelphia. I've always envisioned playing here. I've never envisioned playing anywhere else." General manager Ruben Amaro Jr. has said, "We like to keep the man, Chase Utley, in our pinstripes." So all around a good story here that Chase Utley will remain a Philadelphia Philly. And if you remember, actually, when we were starting to heat up trade rumors around the trade deadline, there were some people that were saying that Chase Utley might be on the trading block. But
I remember that.
But apparently, no. Neither Ruben Amaro nor Chase Utley wanted to get Chase Utley out of there. So,
well, that is good news for the Phillies and for Chase Utley.
Yeah. The only other thing is that at the end of this season, the Phillies will have to worry about veteran catcher Carlos Ruiz.
Oh yeah.
And our ace Roy Halladay. They're the final year of their contract. So. That's going to be tough to see if he's going to be able to swing extra years with those guys as well.
Yeah, well, I hope we can keep the main players around as long as possible. But, it is a business. If they can't do it, they can't do it. But then again, it's baseball. There's no salary cap. Just keep throwing money at them.
Yeah, that's right. It is baseball. There is, yeah.
Whenever,
you're right.
Whenever somebody says, I don't know if they'll be able to keep him around, I think...
It's baseball.
Dude, it's baseball. What are you worrying about,
Yeah. Look at the Yankees, man. They spend like $300 million in just payroll or something. Something ridiculous.
Yeah, something ridiculous like that. When you compare it to football, I think football is like $100 million.
Yeah, like 160, I think.
160? Is it 100? Yeah,
it's around
like
there. Yeah.
The point is, it's a lot more.
Yeah. It's a lot more for the teams that are major market teams because they're allowed to spend a lot more.
Right.
Teams
like
the Miami Marlins, they can't do anything.
They pay him in peanuts.
Yeah, literally.
Leftover hot dogs from the concession stands.
And hey, Joe, we got a half a dozen hot dogs left here for you.
Is that enough for a new player?
This just in, the Miami Marlins have traded for Alvarez Johnson for a washing machine and a dryer. Fantastic.
Hey, all right.
Hey, all of our clothes have been smelly, so it's good to finally get this washer and dryer.
Hey, every baseball club needs a good washer and dryer, right?
Yeah.
All those grass stains?
162 games, yeah, that'll get to you.
Yeah, right? Or you could just change the team's color to green and just not wash the clothes.
But how about dirt?
Oh, dirt. Brown and green.
Brown and green. The brown and green. That does not sound good. What are you, an army? Like, camouflage?
The Dallas Diarrheas.
All right, fantastic.
Anyway,
the Dallas Diarrheas.
Does Dallas have a baseball team?
Dallas doesn't, but it's the Texas Rangers.
Okay, they're
kind of the
Dallas area,
yeah,
or the Texas area,
yeah.
The
I don't know. I don't.
It's such a huge state.
I don't know if they play in Dallas specifically, but that represents
all of that
Texas, yeah. Or the Houston Astros, but they're Houston specifically. Yeah.
So hey, maybe, you know, just think about it, MLB. Think about it.
Dallas Diarrheas.
You don't got to wash the uniforms. All right.
Good job, Mike.
Anyway, I think it's time to get out of this segment, don't you think?
Yeah. It's
on that note.
Talking about diarrhea, yeah. Good job, Mike.
Brown and green. I don't know. That was bad.
This is so bad.
Yeah, there you
it
go.
It was. I was trying to think of something alliteration.
That fucking sucked.
Oh, man. All right. Well, that about wraps it up for the sports sampler. That brings us to our next segment, the entertainment entree.
Can you discipline him?
Oh, kinky.
There you go.
Who are we disciplining?
I don't know, but I love that sound clip from Ricky Gervais's David Brent from The British Office.
That is a fun sound clip.
You like that one, don't you?
I do. I like the way he goes.
Can you discipline him?
Oh, kinky.
Oh, I like the way he does that.
Yeah.
Oh, kinky.
Can you discipline him?
Oh, kinky.
So there you go. That's my one unplanned sound effect per episode rule.
That's an official rule now.
I'm trying, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Non-related sound effect.
What happens if we don't follow the rule?
More sound effects.
More sound effects?
Yep.
Sit your $5 ass down before I make change.
There you go.
Whoa.
That happens.
That's a threat.
I have to make change.
Well, you know who couldn't make change? Was the studio responsible for The Expendables.
Uh-oh. Oh, that's yeah, that's right. I was hearing this story.
Yeah. Apparently, Bruce Willis had a little bit of a contract dispute with them.
Yeah. This is pretty shocking, I think. Allegedly, the story goes that Bruce Willis refused to commit to 4 days of filming in Bulgaria for the new Expendables movies unless the producers paid him $4 million or an extra million over what he had already been offered by Stallone and the gang.
That's right. He was originally supposed to do 4 days of filming for $3 million, and he wanted to hold out for four. But that's not where the story ends, is it?
No. Apparently, when the producers decided not to give him $4 million for 4 days, Bruce Willis left the cast of The Expendables 3, and Sylvester Stallone called his former Planet Hollywood partner, quote, greedy and lazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It also goes on to say a sure formula for career failure.
Yes, Stallone.
That's some heavy stuff right there.
I mean, you could be a heartbreak. You walk down the street breaking hearts the way you're looking. Very shy.
Yeah, very very heartbreaking here.
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah. It just seems very douchebaggerish, if I may create a word.
Yeah. it does.
Yeah, just $1 million, really? You couldn't come just...
That's only 4 days of filming!
I know. You're getting paid $3 million for 4 days of filming. And how much is he really doing in those 4 days?
Yeah, he's not doing a whole lot. He's not in the main
role.
He's
not a lead character, is he?
No.
So what's the big deal? His ego is getting in the way. I love Bruce Willis's movies. But now, he just strikes me as a very egotistical, very self-centered jerk, if I may.
Yeah, I'm surprised that... He went from asking for a little bit more money to now, I'm not even going to be in the movie. Like, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
It makes you wonder if something was going on behind the scenes.
Yeah. I mean...
Because they found a replacement pretty quickly, didn't they?
Yeah. The moment that Bruce Willis decided to drop his involvement with The Expendables 3, Stallone called Harrison Ford up.
What?
Yeah, and Harrison Ford has agreed to take his role in The Expendables 3 movie.
Wow.
So, wow, yeah.
They replaced him pretty quickly.
Yeah. Replacing, I love the theories going on that this is like replacing John McClane with Han Solo or Indiana Jones. But
yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And Sylvester Stallone tweeted out, Willis out, Harrison Ford in. Great news. Been waiting years for this. With
you betray the law!
I just stuck that in there for perverse
well, you
against
know,
Bruce.
That's how he tweeted it. With, yeah.
You betray the law!
4 or 5 exclamation points after every line.
I am the law!
And in all caps.
Nothing is over! Nothing! You just don't turn it off!
You just don't turn it off!
I think that's the only... He can't turn it off. I think that's the only
Stallone
way he...
Stallone can't turn the Twitters off.
No, because even when he calls Bruce Willis greedy and lazy, it's in all caps.
I can't turn
greedy and lazy!
I can't turn the caps lock off!
You just don't turn it off!
Help me! I can't turn the caps lock off! It's like Vietnam all over again!
Nothing is over! Nothing! You just don't turn it off!
I wonder if he tweets normal things like that. Like,
just had a bagel!
Nothing is over! Nothing! You just don't turn it off!
That's what I was doing. When I did my juice boxing, I was imitating Sylvester Stallone asking for a drink.
Give me my juice box! I need my juice box! I said, give me it now!
I am the law!
That's how he tweets in all caps with exclamation points.
Oh my gosh.
But all joking aside, it's a shame that Bruce Willis had to drop out of the movie, but we got Harrison Ford in the process.
Yeah, so
but then
it's
again,
not like they suffered with it.
Yeah, although it does kind of hurt Bruce Willis's reputation. I don't see him the same way anymore.
Yeah, just really, you couldn't do it for $1 million less, really.
Have you gotten to that stage in your career? I mean, are you really that big a deal?
Yeah.
Because of Die Hard?
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen Die Hard 5?
Have you seen your recent movies?
It's a good day to die hard. No.
I don't care how good the first two, even the third one was pretty good. But really, as of lately, I mean, come on. Yeah. Are you really in a position to demand an extra $1 million? Can I demand an extra $1 million?
Yeah. And they're friends, too. Like, that should have been just a friendly favor.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, you got a movie you're shooting? I'll do it for peanuts.
Yeah. I'd be in a movie for peanuts.
Yeah. Literally. Give us peanuts.
Really? I'd like a peanut.
Or a juice box.
Or a juice box.
Give me my juice box! I need my juice box! I said, give me it now. Nothing is over! Nothing! You just don't turn it off!
Well, so there you go. Sad. I'm disappointed in Bruce Willis.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are probably.
Yeah,
that he decided to go that route with this movie. Maybe one day they'll reconcile.
During this fight, I've seen a lot of changing. That if I can change, you can change. Everybody can change.
Yeah, so if only we can hope.
What a hopeful message.
Yep. Maybe one day they'll reconcile.
But for right now, Bruce Willis will not be in The Expendables 3. And Harrison Ford, that's a nice pickup.
That's a good pickup.
Yeah.
Definitely. Harrison Ford is amazing.
Yeah.
And
he can do comedy.
Harrison Ford
he's
a good actor.
Does a good comedic deadpan.
He's not just an action hero. I think he's a pretty good actor, too.
Yeah.
So, that's cool. I'm glad to see that Harrison Ford will be in it.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Sad to hear that, but what is lost has now been gained, apparently, for Expendables 3.
That's right.
All right, and what's our next topic, Mike?
Our next topic is an interesting question that I had stumbled upon online that was looking at the game industry, and it posed the question, are video games more mature, or are gamers maturing? So, I don't know how many of our listeners are video gamers, but in recent years, as you know, Rich, video games have been becoming more adult-themed. Not adult as in racy, but adult as in mature themes and storylines and dealing with real issues instead of just blowing people's heads off.
Yeah. It's no longer just go to the castle, save the princess.
Right, your princess is in another castle. Now it's... What
that
is
was
the meaning?
So horrible.
Now it's what is the meaning behind the princess?
Yeah, why is the princess in the castle?
Right. What does the princess symbolize?
Something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. But in all seriousness,
hey, going back to why is he Mario? Mario? We still have never found out.
Hello, it's a me, Mario. Woohoo!
Now instead of Mario saying it's a me, Mario, he's going, why am I Mario? What does my existence mean in this godforsaken world?
There you go. He gets a coin every time he thinks like that.
But back to the question at hand. What do you think? Is it the video game industry maturing, or are gamers demanding more mature games now?
Well, I think most gamers want mature games now.
I think so too.
You know,
the average age of a video gamer isn't a small child.
No, as a matter of fact, it's like 30, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. The average age of a video gamer is in, I think, the mid-30s. Well, you figure most the original video gamers grow up in the 70s with the Atari systems.
I mean, look at last week. Our two video game stories were BioShock and Red Dead Redemption.
That's right.
Those are very adult games in the sense of compelling storylines and themes.
Yeah, you don't pick up BioShock for some light, fun gaming.
Yeah, unless you're playing like the rocket launcher level or something.
The rocket launcher level. But I mean, you pick it up because you want that meaty story that leaves you questioning what you had just experienced.
It is accomplished.
Or to hear Sandra Cohen.
Which is always a positive.
Yeah. Unless you're the guy that's being burned at the piano.
But no, you're right. We spent a good portion of last week's episode talking about the weird way that physics and time work in BioShock Infinite, these are pretty heavy topics to be dealing with in a video game.
Yeah, like I could never have played that if I was, you know, 13 or something.
No, and it wouldn't have been possible in the earlier generations. I'm just, you know, when I heard this question, I thought back to the PlayStation 2 and PlayStation 1 era, and there were some mature games, but a lot of it was very simplistic.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, the most mature game that came out for PlayStation 2 was probably Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, and that was mature, meaning like violence and sexual mature. Not mature as in dealing with adult themes.
Yeah, I mean, now with this current generation of video games, you've got games like Heavy Rain, you know, that promote a detective and a film noir-esque story. L.A. Noir.
Yeah,
even there you go. L.A. Noir.
Our famous game, noir music is from that game.
Yeah, that game would not have been possible 5 years ago. Not even by a long shot.
The main gameplay element of the game is deciding whether people are telling the truth or lying
through their facial expressions. You know, none of that would have been possible, you know, 5 years ago.
Right.
I mean, that's also technology, but it's also kind of... Oh, there you go. There's the music. But it's also kind of more what the gamers wanted to do.
Right.
They said, if I'm going to play as a detective, I want to make real detective decisions.
Right. And I want to be the detective.
Yeah. And Rockstar Games came through and gave this game, which we use as the detective music.
That's right. Every time we need to get detectives Rich and Mike on the case.
Yeah. Though not really for the same... serious crimes in L.A. Noir.
No.
We just have pizza incidents and...
graduations.
Graduations gone awry.
Yeah.
Awry, sorry.
Awry.
Yeah, I can't talk.
That's all right. But yeah, I look at some of the best-selling games recently. Like you mentioned, BioShock and L.A. Noir and Heavy Rain, Mass Effect. These are multi-million games. They sell multi-million copies. So you see a lot of gamers... Not only giving out the money for these games, but they're demanding these games. I've noticed just a casual trend, just reading a magazine like Game Informer, where story wasn't really that big a deal in past generations. Now, if a game doesn't have a story, it's actually criticized for it.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that?
Oh, yeah. If there's no story, then why am I playing it?
Exactly. But would you have said that 4 or 5 years ago?
Probably wouldn't have said that with the shoot 'em up games.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe with the adventure games?
Probably adventure, yeah. You'd want to have some sort of content to it.
But there was a point where that didn't matter at all.
Yeah.
And now it seems to be...
It's a requirement now.
Yeah, not only required, but it's a greatly valued feature of games.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, games like Mass Effect are, you know, not only just, you know, just a space thriller shoot-em-up game, but they also have romance options and...
Right.
Consequences to each action that you do. I mean, that's something that's just
your
we didn't really have, yeah. except for choose your adventure, you know, games where it was just linear. Option A or B. All right,
right.
B leads this. Option A leads this.
This is much more nuanced, though. I mean, your choices throughout the games can lead to the death of an entire race.
Yeah,
you know,
or main characters.
Or yeah, I know no other game is there the actual threat of losing multiple main characters because of your decisions.
Yeah.
If you don't do the right things, your teammates will die.
Yeah. And there will be
you will lose parts of your story.
Yeah, it's not a plot device.
Rain's also like that too. You can lose main characters.
Yeah, there are four main characters. You can lose all four of them.
Yeah,
at one point or another.
Yeah, I mean the games weren't designed like that a couple of years ago.
No, they just weren't. They couldn't be, and people weren't really asking for them. Now people ask for games like that.
Yeah,
I think another good piece of evidence are indie games, the independent game scene, like Braid and like Journey for PlayStation Network. I don't know if you're familiar with that one, but they're these real artsy games that only take you 2 or 3 hours to play, and they win all these awards for their artistic values and their more thought-provoking themes rather than linear, obvious stories. They're very abstract, which I think is a cool idea.
If you look at this year's possible Game of the Year candidates, you're looking at BioShock Infinite, Grand Theft Auto 5, Last of Us. Like, these games have some serious...
Yeah. It's not Call of Duty anymore.
Yeah. You know? Oh, God. And I never liked Call of Duty to begin with.
Call of Duty was never that... It was never intended to be story-driven, but now it's really painfully obvious that there's nothing there.
Quick, fight these guys. Why? I don't know.
Nuclear war. Yeah, no, the plot is like nuclear war. Oh, wow. I've never seen that before. Nuclear war? No. But no, that's what it's come to nowadays.
Yeah.
You mentioned The Last of Us developed by Naughty Dog, and I read something interesting about that, is they have been developing games for, if this makes sense, a particular audience, and they have grown their games alongside their audience. So, for example, they started making cartoony-type mascot games for PlayStation 1, and then they played, and then they made a more serious platformer that had some story. And then they made the Uncharted series, which is like for the teenager. It has a lot of story, a lot of great gameplay, and then finally they made The Last of Us for their adult audience. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, they've moved along.
They've moved along with their intended audience, which I thought was a cool move.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if they intended that, but when you think about that progression...
That's pretty cool. I didn't think of it like
that. Maybe that's like a microcosm of what the video game industry is doing in general.
Well, you know, I think they should. We should be pushing the boundaries of video game. Game is art.
It is. Yeah. It is. I'm a big proponent of that. And if they want to be respected as such, they should continue to push the boundaries. Like you said, this upcoming generation, they're not going to have any boundaries. When you look at the power of the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One compared to the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360, it's just the next generation just blows them out of the water.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna see some interesting technological advances.
Right.
But how will the developers use those in the future of video games?
And that will open up the storytelling aspects. They'll be able to make more detailed characters. They'll be able to add more dialogue, more content, more variables.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that's going to be interesting to see in the future.
I'm excited for the next gen, for all the possibilities that it brings with it.
But in terms of the question that was posed, I would say that it's the gamers demanding more mature games.
I think so, because...
You don't want to play the same Mario game over and over again.
Exactly. It's a consumer-driven business.
Even Mario had to evolve. I don't know if you ever played... If you've played the new, like, Paper Mario games.
No.
It makes Mario into not just a side-scrolling game anymore, but also adds a 3D dimension to it. Because, right, Paper Mario... if you look on the screen, it looks like... There's only two directions. You can only go left or right.
Right.
Maybe it goes up and down. But in terms of like advancing in the level,
right,
you only go left or right. But now new Mario games flip the environment into a 3D perspective.
Okay.
So it's even Mario has to evolve.
Right. You can't stay the same forever.
Yeah, you can't put out the same product. Madden.
That was a heck of an effort, and that puts him in third and manageable, and now he has to manage it.
Yeah, just saying.
Well, Madden is not managing it.
No.
There's a game that needs a shot in the arm.
Yeah, Madden really needs to, I don't know, there needs to be something new with that.
But like we were saying, the video games are maturing. It is a consumer-driven business, so you're going to have large portions of the game community. I think BioShock Infinite sold something like 5 million copies. You have a portion of the game community that demands games like that, and then you have the portion of the game community that demands games like Madden and Call of Duty. So you have both sides of it, but I think in general, gamers are demanding more mature experiences, more adult experiences from their games, more story-driven narratives, deeper themes, et cetera, et cetera. So to answer the question, I think it's gamers are maturing and demanding the evolution of games along with them.
Yeah, I would say so as well. And with that, I would say go BioShock. Can't wait for that.
Any chance to plug BioShock, right?
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Or Red Dead Redemption.
You know, one of the big pioneers of this future of mature video games is Ken Levine.
Oh, definitely.
And I just love the work that he does.
In 2007, you're talking 6 years ago, he releases BioShock. That was like revolutionary at the time.
Yeah.
To have like this big narrative-driven experience that was more about the player being immersed in the world than the player shooting people.
Yeah.
The point of it was to be in Rapture.
Not to just shoot them up, get to the end of the level.
You play that game to hear the history, to see the environment, right?
Yeah, and I would go and play that again.
Oh, you know? Easily. It would be a joy to play it again.
I know. We love BioShock. Great, seriously, great game if you haven't played it.
If you can't,
we will say that every podcast.
If we have a reason to promote BioShock, we will.
It is accomplished.
Yep, there you go. And you know, I will still hold true to my lottery promise. I think I explained it on the podcast. Did I not?
I don't know. Well, you can say it now. Yeah.
Whenever we have this big lottery, like a Powerball or something, that's, you know, that gets insanely large, like $500 million, $600 million or something. I tweeted it. This is a tweet promise, and I made it with Ken Levine on his Twitter, and he retweeted me.
It's true. I've witnessed it.
If I win the lottery, if I win the $600 million mega lottery, whatever, I will give half of it for a BioShock movie because I love the story of BioShock. I think that's one of the top games ever released for video games.
I agree, as do millions of other gamers, and that's a very noble cause.
Thank you.
Yeah,
with my imaginary promise that I will never probably have to make good on.
You're going to win the lottery tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Oh, crap.
Oh, well.
No, I'd
do it.
I'd do it, too.
Yeah.
If you want $600 million, what are you going to use $600 million for?
Yeah, I really only need like $2 million to survive. You know, the only thing I really need is to pay off like my loans and a house.
College loans, a house, a car, and then just enough
money. I don't even need an expensive car.
Just a regular car.
A nice car. Yeah.
You know?
Maybe something that has an auxiliary out jack that I can plug an iPod into. And
whoa, fancy.
Yeah.
Maybe a GPS unit.
Yeah. Even,
just in case.
Okay.
And then enough money left over for the booze and Chinese food.
Yeah. I'd be set.
Just live off of General Tso's chicken and vodka for the rest of your life, right?
Yeah. That's all I need.
I don't know if that's a good combination, but...
And I'll live till, I don't know, what, 40?
40.
Yeah, 40. That'd be great.
You're just going to check out at 40?
Yeah, you know, I don't really need to live past 40, right?
I've lived a good life.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40! I'm not a kid!
all right, so I guess another thing is I have to go see Mike Gundy. If I hit 40 and I'm not a man, Mike Gundy will yell at me.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40! I'm not a kid!
That's all I got to say. Makes me want to puke.
I always love how he has to explicitly give his age in that rant.
Yeah. He's a man!
I'm 40!
Yep, when you hit 40, you're either a man or you're not a man. That's
like,
it.
Like, he's defending the fact that he's a grown-up. I'm 40! You better believe
it. Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40! I'm not a kid!
Yep, there you go. 40 is when you hit it. If you're not a man by 40, you'll never be a man.
Just give up.
Yeah. Alright, so there you go. A great entertainment entree segment right there. All right, and we've got another interesting part of the show up next. You'll never know what exactly is coming up next because it is our wacky and wild and random side dish. All right, and there you go. That's our epic theme music for the side dish. The side dish is essentially... any topic that either me or Mike wants to bring up that doesn't fit into the sports sampler, the entertainment entree, or the non-fortune cookie odd news. And today, Mike has a side dish, so...
That's right.
This is kind of new for me. It's been a while. The last couple of side dishes have all been me.
Yeah, you've been finding a lot of them, but I finally got one.
Uh-oh. He's excited about it.
I got one.
He's on fire.
I'm on fire. I have a one side dish streak. So, yeah, I found a video on Gizmodo.com about the longest words in different languages.
Ah.
Yeah, and so it's a video of them pronouncing the words, and I thought it would be fun if we could try to pronounce them as well, because, as our listeners know, we have a history of odd words. As we know, you're the Satan's number proclaimer. I don't remember what...
Do you want to go over a listening history of the crispy noodle mess-ups?
Sure.
It's not the... It wouldn't... What am I trying to say is that... What am I trying to say? Dickle.
All right. Okay. I am the Satan's number proclaimer!
We do listen to you people. Sometimes.
So there you go.
There you go.
The brief history of our mess-ups right there.
We're not exactly very well-spoken sometimes.
Sometimes it happens.
But, hey, we manage. So, anyway, I found this video. I thought it'd be fun just to hear some of the words and to tell you people what those words mean and then to see if we could say them.
Oh, okay. So, all right. I'm down.
All right.
All right. So, are you ready for the first word?
Yeah. What's the first word?
Yeah. What was that?
It means to the least farmable one.
What language is that?
Czech. It says...
So we're trying to pronounce a Czech word.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Nejne obohosaparav ravava telenejesima. Go ahead, your turn.
Judges, can I have the repeat of the word? Nejne obohosaparavatelnejesima.
Wow, I butchered mine.
Wow.
Okay.
Nezhni obosoda rova vitel nezimtubu.
Wow. That actually wasn't half bad, I think. Do we want to hear?
Let's hear it again. There's definitely like a moo at the end, so.
Yeah, it's nezhimu.
And in Czech, this word means, quote, to the least farmable one.
Wow.
And it's a real word in the Czech language.
Does that mean, like, the least farmable, like, land?
I guess so.
The least farmable one? Or maybe, like, the one that can farm the least? Rich, how much can you farm?
I can farm... Nezhneo borzoda rova vitel nezivu!
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly it. That was exactly it.
I think I might get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I might have been close. Maybe.
You're not going to like the next one.
All right. All right. So what language is this one?
This is Danish.
Danish language here. And the word is, quote, period of plan stabilizing for a specialist doctor's practice.
What are those? So wait, the definitions aren't even in English?
The period of plan stabilizing
for a specialist doctor's practice. That's what it has here on the
so
screen.
So if you have an eye doctor, this is the period of plan of like the doctor stabilizing the plan for his office?
Well, yes, all dentists and eye doctors have to plan their offices.
No, but it's the period of planning to stabilize.
Yes, so this is it.
Okay.
This is how they pronounce the word. What?
Specialist.
I can't believe this is an official word. There's no way you would take the time to write out a word this long.
I've never seen these letters before. Go ahead. Your turn.
Special edge prank is playing it. It's the.
All right, you laughed at that
I'm
one.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Specialist practice is playing in established road.
You're just adding the words in.
I don't know. I'm trying to see what I can. I'm trying to break it down. Whenever you have a long word, you break
it
down.
Specialist gapraxis plan nilgin stabilis ring period.
There you go. I think you got. I think you won that one.
Should we listen to it?
Let's listen to it again.
There you go. I can't. No, there's no way. I'm not going to be able to say that one. Damn you. Was it Danish?
Danish.
Damn you, Danish.
Danish people.
Danish language.
You've thwarted me once again.
Damn you, Danes. Oh, boy.
All right, you want to move on to the next word?
All right. The next one is Slovenian, and it means ENT medical practice.
What's ENT? Do you know what that is?
Oh, ears, nose, and throat.
Wow, there you
go. Wow. Oh, man. Look at the big brain on Mike.
I quit. I'm done.
All right. So this is an ears, nose, and throat medical practice?
Yes.
Okay. Let's hear how they pronounce it.
That's not so bad. Otorhinolaryngologia.
Let me hear it again.
Otorhinolaryngologia.
All right. Here we go. Otorhinolaryngologia.
Hey, there you go. Oh, man.
Look at that. Yeah.
Look at the big brain on Rich. Whenever somebody wins a round, we have to say that.
All right. There we go. I think I got that one.
Woo. That was pretty good.
I can speak, what is it?
Slovenian.
Slovenian. Yeah. Hey, my brethren.
You can only say ENT medical practices.
I need to go to the otorhinolaryngologia.
Don't ask for hamburgers or anything.
No.
All right, ready for the next one?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. What is... All right, what language is this?
This is Dutch, and it means...
The Dutch.
The Dutch.
Really?
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures, and the Dutch.
What?
Yep, I guess that's how we're going to be feeling right now.
Maybe that's why he doesn't like the Dutch, is this word. So this is a Dutch word that means preparation activities for a children's carnival procession.
And the word is longer than the actual definition.
Yeah.
I think that should be a rule of thumb. If the word is longer than the definition, you're better off just writing the definition than creating this word.
Why can't they say each of those words individually?
Yeah.
All right, so.
All right, let's hear how this is pronounced.
Kindercarnavals ontwikkeld voor begeleidingswerkzaamheden.
I don't even think they know how to pronounce it.
Yeah, I think they fumbled.
They were
with
like,
it.
Blah, 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 blah.
All right, let's.
All right,
try
I'm
this.
Gonna I'm gonna give it a shot. Kinder Carnaval Soptak Vorbereidings Zwerkazaheden.
Woo!
I thought that was pretty good.
Kindergarten.
Kindergarten. Oh, I'm done.
Kinder Carnival Soptak Vorbereidings Zwerkazaheden.
Hey, there
know.
You
that's
go.
That's the best, I can I can go with Dutch accent. That's the best I'm going to be able to do, all right? Let's hear what it was exactly again. Yeah, it does sound
they messed up. I think we got it right.
I think we get the point for that one. Yeah.
Look at the big brains on us.
Woo, yeah. Take that, Dutch.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
What?
Yeah, take that.
Oh, boy.
That was a weird word, though.
How about new, you crazy Dutch bastard?
Yeah, how about new? If you can't even say it right, then we shouldn't have to say it right.
That's right.
All right, and we got another word coming up.
Yeah, you're not going to like this one.
What the? No.
Those aren't even letters.
All right, and what language is this?
This is Turkish, and it means...
Turkish?
And it means, as if you are one of the people that we didn't make resemble from... Oh,
you can't even read this. You can't even read the...
Okay, wait. As if you are one of the people that we didn't make resemble from Afoy Afyon Karish Isar. You say that.
All right, the town, I think, is Afyonkarahisar.
There you go.
Afyonkarahisar.
Afyonkarahisar.
No, there's no way we're going to be pronouncing this word right.
Well, let's hear it, and then let's give it a shot.
All right.
Okay. What? They did that so fast. All right, I'm just going to dive in. Afyonkarahisna lil ashen madikal rasadan misikisa kasina.
Woo!
I think that was completely wrong.
Okay.
You gotta brace yourself.
Yeah, I gotta strap myself in.
All right, is everybody ready for this? Go ahead, Satan's number proclaimer.
Shut up, Mike.
I am the Satan's number proclaimer.
Yeah, well, I did claim it was number.
You did.
Not word. Okay, here I go.
Afyankari Charles Tira Madikal in Mids Dan Minsi Kanesi Casina!
Casina!
Yeah, I know at the end it's Casina!
Casina!
Casina! We might not get the whole word right, but we got that ending.
That's right.
Casino!
I think this point goes to the Turks.
Yeah, there's no way. Let's hear it, the correct pronunciation once again. Wow, that's just too long.
Wow.
Way too long. Need to shorten that one up, pal.
I can't read the definition for the next one. Wait, yes I can.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry.
What language is the next one?
This is Irish Gaelic, and it means anti-disestablishmentarianistic.
Yes.
Anti-disestablishmentarianistic.
Or for those that would be interested in writing it better, it would be characteristic of anti-disestablishmentarianism.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why would they add istic?
Well, you're just making up.
Yeah, that's just...
Suffixes at
that point. You're just making up suffixes.
Yeah. Anti-disestablishmentarianistically.
It's an adverb now?
Yeah, you might as well... If you're going that far, yeah, let's attach any suffix at this point.
Add an ing at the end for good luck.
Yeah.
All right, this is Irish Gaelic?
Yes, for anti-disestablishmentarianistic.
All right. Let's play the correct pronunciation here.
First of the Unatorial.
All right,
you did that so fast.
Yeah, and I am not Irish at all, so this is not going to work.
Well, wait, are you Turkish or Dutch? Why does that make
it? I don't know. It beats me.
You said I'm not Irish, but you weren't any of the other ethnicities.
I guess it's because a lot of people. I have very fair skin and blonde hair. A lot of people when they first see me, they say, "Are you Irish?"
Oh, Liebig?
Well, I mean, if they didn't hear my name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They say by the looks of me.
You're Irish.
Yeah. But no, not Irish. I'm German, which is... I'm Italian-German.
And Italian.
There Complete fascism. Woo!
Yes. Go fascism.
Yeah.
Axis of evil right here.
Yeah, the Italians and the Germans.
Yeah, fantastic.
We should find a Japanese friend. Oh, boy.
Good job,
What
Mike.
Did I just say?
Good job, Mike.
That's going to be a clip, isn't it?
Maybe.
Okay. I'm going to try and forget that. And instead, I'm going to fill my brain with this Irish Gaelic word.
Okay.
Frith dib huna haya takoraya.
Woo!
I don't know if that was right.
I can't really tell because they really say it fast in this
they
clip.
They do.
Frith dib huna haya.
That is way too fast.
Frith dib haya kona tayarike.
All right. Here we go.
Good luck.
Frith dib haya. I sound Jewish.
Frith dib haya.
Frith the Bahamian Takorich.
Takorich.
I don't know. The last bit looks like reach.
It is reach. It's Takorich.
Right. I don't know. I can see that word.
Yeah.
You guys can have that one back.
First of Unatorial.
Yep. You guys can have that word.
Wow. All right. So the next one is Polish, and it means daughter of a man from Constantinople, and then that's the last name.
What? Oh my, no, again, that's just way too fast. There's no way you can pick that up.
Konstantinopolitan kisa kawaza kozuna.
It's not even called Constantinople anymore, is it?
No, it's not. I don't think
that's
it is.
Istanbul, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so this one should be gone. I am crossing this out. I am throwing the red flag. I'm calling the challenge.
What happens
here
when we throw the flag?
I don't think this should count because Constantinople is not the name of the city. It's Istanbul, right?
I'm looking it up right now. We're fact checking.
If I'm right about this, I should not have to say this name.
Yes.
Wait.
The modern Turkish name for the city, Istanbul, derives from the Greek phrase Istin Polen, meaning into the city or to the city.
So I was right?
I think so.
Yeah! Victory music!
The call on the field has been overturned.
Woo! Thank you!
You still gotta say the word.
Oh. Constantinopolakonskivzuvanona.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That, no, that's it. They only get that try. Because that doesn't count.
That's right.
They should change the Constantinople to Istanbul.
That would change the whole word. It would be like Istanbulapalatakakisawazona. Yeah.
Thank you, history classes.
Woo!
I knew it.
Go history.
Yeah. Why am I promoting history? You're the history major.
Yeah, I know. I didn't study ancient history.
Good job, Mike. Well, I studied recent history, you know, not that ancient history crap.
I didn't study history. I studied like yesterday and last week.
Oh my god.
All right.
Do we want to try we got to start to wrap this one up, but where's the Italian one?
Let's find the Italian one.
Yeah. All right, let's hear the correct pronunciation.
Precipitevolissimevolmente.
Oh, wait, that doesn't sound that bad.
No, it doesn't.
And the definition is, in a way, like someone or something that acts very hastily.
All right. Precipitevolissimevolmente.
Oh.
I think I did that pretty good.
I think you got that.
Go ahead. You do it.
Precipitevolissimevolmente.
We can speak Italian.
Yeah, I think I still might have it.
Yeah, I think we got it. You know what might be fun? My parents are Italian. Would you like to try and pronounce an Italian word on the Crispy Noodle Podcast? It's the longest Italian word. No pressure.
All right, here you go. All right, so Mrs. Costanzo, you're 100% Italian, right?
Yes.
All right.
Oh, man, she's putting her Italian hood on the line.
Yeah. Do you think you can say the longest word in the Italian language?
Why don't we play it one more time?
Precipitevolissimevolmente.
All right, this is it. Mike's mom.
Pronouncing the longest Italian word, which means, let me get the definition back up on the screen.
In a way, like someone or something that acts very hastily.
Okay.
All right, here you go. Your moment to shine.
Precipitevolissimevolmente.
Oh, I think that was good. I think that's it.
That was pretty good, yeah.
There you go. Very cool one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And I think that was a very good one by both of us. I think we might still have our Italian classes in us.
Should we call it after the good one?
Yeah, I think that's good enough.
Unless...
You want to try the last one, the absolute?
Did you see the last one?
Yeah. You want to try the last one? This is the absolute longest word ever.
I have not seen a word longer than this. This is Swedish.
I'm going to Disneyland, come and go to Disneyland, all you people living in Sweden.
Maybe Gary Busey could help us.
He'd probably have a better shot than I do. The word from Swedish means the supply of uniforms to the personnel of the track cleaners union of the tramway company.
Wow, that's really, really, we needed a word for that?
Yes, of course.
All right, and here's the correct pronunciation of it.
Spårvagnsaktiebolags skensmutsare fackförenings personalbeklädnad.
What?
Spårvagnsaktiebolags skensmutsare gitarre fackföraka personalbeklädnad.
I think that was the perfect way to close that second
There
out.
You go.
La bibbida bibbidum. La bibbida bibbidoo.
I wanted that to be the ending. I thought that's what it sounded like.
That is what it sounded like. So, there you go.
There you go.
The longest words in each language.
There you go. And that was our side dish for this week. Good one, Mike. I liked it.
Yeah, you thought that was pretty good?
I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. All right, and now that we're done with the side dish, it's time to move to our next segment, our fantabulous, our fantastic, our wonderful,
our infamous,
our odd news. It's the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders, go to the bathroom, because you're in for a hell of a ride.
All right, well, to kick off the odd news, as our listeners know, Rich usually does us the honors by reading the odd news. But I have found actually something that's not read, but a video of something very odd.
Wow.
That I found online, yeah.
And it's appropriate to play on the
I think it's appropriate.
On the show?
Yes. Right. I think this is newsworthy.
What is the story behind this clip?
Well, as you know, from a couple weeks ago, we had a story about rhubarb, right?
Yeah, the rhubarb chutney explosion.
Right. Well, apparently, rhubarb is a very popular plant because...
some lady was caught trying to steal rhubarb.
What?
I know. And of course, they caught it on tape, and they had a little confrontation.
Uh-oh.
So why don't we just play the clip and let them hear the argument?
All right, let's hear the rhubarb argument.
Why don't you take some... Why don't you grow your own?
This is not your property. Go somewhere else.
Well, this is not my property.
You go mind your own business.
No. You just don't know what's right or wrong, do you?
All of that over rhubarb. She claims, as you may or may not have heard, she claims that the rhubarb is alley property and that she can pick it if she wants.
And that's why she says, what's your name, bitch?
Yes. She said, she was trying to say, is your name on the rhubarb? And she goes, where's your name, bitch? Where's your name, bitch?
You know what it sounded like?
What?
Chad mom, bitch. Are you ready? It's Patricia. Bitch, here I come. I've got a message to use protection from the sun. Ha 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 ha.
Oh no!
We haven't heard our tan mom in a long while.
Yeah, is it the tan mom that's been trying to get this rhubarb?
She doesn't look very tan.
It's Chad mom, bitch. Are you ready? It's Patricia, bitch.
What's your name, bitch?
What's your name, bitch?
It's Tan Mom, bitch.
It's Chad Mom, bitch. Are you ready? It's Patricia, bitch. Here I come.
Should we try and go on and off?
Where's your name, bitch?
Excuse me.
Where's your name, bitch? Where's your name?
It's Chad Mom, bitch.
Where's your name, bitch? Where's your name?
It's Chad Mom, bitch.
Wow. So apparently... Rhubarb Mom and Tan Mom
going at it.
Wow. There you go. Exclusive audio right here from the Crispy Noodle.
Oh, man. I've never seen anybody get so angry over rhubarb.
All right. Yep. You know what? I'm going to do it with my go-to solution for things like this. If they would want to settle this, it should be the Rhubarb Mom versus the Tan Mom.
Let's get ready to rumble!
There you go. Two punches.
Where's your name, bitch?
Excuse me.
Where's your name, bitch? Where's your name?
It's Chad Mom, bitch. Are you ready?
Oh.
Well, there you go. There you go right there.
Rhubarb Lady and Tan Mom.
Fantastic.
It's Chad Mom, bitch.
All right, there you go. All right, Tan Mom, go away. All right, now are you ready for my odd news stories?
Yes.
All right, here we go. You ready for the first one?
Of course.
In South Dakota, police in South Dakota said that they have arrested two carnival workers when officers intercepted a doll that was filled with crack cocaine.
Wow.
That's a cocaine!
The police said that they received word Saturday that a suspicious package was on its way to the city via FedEx. The police spokesman said that, quote, they ended up getting a search warrant on the package and found that the doll that was supposed to be on sale for one of the carnival games had drugs inside. The package was picked up by Louis Deke, a 35-year-old. Deke told police that he was unaware of the package's contents and was picking it up for a friend.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. It's not mine.
Right. No. He had no idea.
The old friend. You know, my old friend that works at a carnival game that's going to do a drug deal.
Yeah. My friend who has the same name as me. But
is it cocaine?
Deke has been charged with felony drug possession and drug distribution.
So wait, this was going to be a prize at a carnival game?
Yeah. Okay. Or I guess in theory, it would have been some sort of drug pickup.
Right. Well, I mean, obviously that was what it was intended to be.
Yeah.
What if a little kid had won it?
Oh, no.
There goes my drugs. I do cocaine. It makes you wonder how many times they've messed up before.
Some kid just like gets like a nice doll. Oh, look, it's so nice. And you know.
Spoon.
And I need a spoon. I need a spoon to do the cocaine.
It's so nice. Spoon.
That's what he says when he's high.
Wow.
This nice teddy bear. It's so nice.
He's so fluffy, I'm going to die.
I'm still laughing about the spoon.
It's always funny when I play the wrong sound effect. Oh. It was right below the fluffy clip.
Spoon.
Oh, Rich.
That's what you say when you're high and you see the teddy bear.
Spoon.
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 He's so fluffy, I'm going to die.
Don't you love those moments?
Yeah, when I mess up on the soundboard, it's always great.
Oh, so a drug-laden teddy bear at a carnival.
All right, you ready for the next story?
Yes.
All right, here's the next story. When you're hunting ghosts, things can get awry. Three North Carolina men who said that they trekked into the forest to, quote, look for ghosts, were actually making methamphetamines, according to a sheriff's release report obtained by the local news outlet. Sony,
whoa.
Sony's involved here.
Yeah, there's another reason everybody wants a PlayStation 4. Is this like Sony's version of the teddy bear?
Yes, it is.
I got a trophy. It's meth.
Excuse me. The guy's name is Sonny, not Sony. The guy's name is Sonny Clay Hyatt, who called 911 late Monday night and told the dispatcher that he was lost in the woods. Authorities found Hyatt using the GPS coordinates on his phone. Well, when they rescued him, they started getting suspicious about exactly what him and his friends were doing out there in the first place. Deputies say that Hyatt claimed that he and two friends went out looking for, quote, paranormal activity because of stories that the woods were haunted, but he got separated from them and got lost, and that's what led him to call the police.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. The investigators didn't believe Hyatt and continued to grill him. Deputies say he eventually admitted that he and his buddies actually went out into the woods to cook up some meth.
Wait, you just freely admit that?
Yeah.
Like, all right, you got me.
You got me.
I was cooking meth.
You got me.
What a horrible criminal.
Yeah, not very good criminal. No. Nobody on the Odd News segment are very good criminals.
So wait, you're getting questioned by the police. What were you doing out there? Hunting ghosts. What were you really doing out there? All right, I was cooking meth.
Because you done goofed.
Yeah, exactly.
The three men have all been arrested, and they are charged with manufacturing methamphetamines and possession of methamphetamine chemicals.
You know, if you're going to be out in the middle of the woods in the middle of the night cooking meth, come up with a better story than I was hunting ghosts.
Yeah.
All right, and these are two quick little stories here.
All right.
Terry and Jay Swant of Michigan have welcomed their 12th baby into the family last week. But the cool thing about it?
Yeah.
All boys.
Wow.
12 kids, all boys.
How have they not killed themselves?
Wow. What an uplifting message from Mike. Congratulations, you have 12 boys. Kill yourself.
I'm just saying, I mean, you know, it could get kind of loud and rambunctious in there, you know?
Exactly. There you go.
That's exactly what it would sound like.
they got enough feet. They could make that loud of a chant.
They could form like a full blown orchestra. We got 12 people.
The mom though is smiling. Quote: "We didn't know what he would be when he was born. We don't like to find out. But so far, it's always been a boy, and it's always a surprise for us."
Wow.
So amazingly, the dad, Jay Swant, says that he would like to have another kid, and maybe that the 13th will be the charm that'll get the family a girl finally.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Isn't 13 an unlucky number, though?
Yeah, so wouldn't you not want, like, the only girl to be the 13th kid?
Yeah, that seems like a bad idea.
Yeah.
She'll end up cooking.
I am the Satan's number proclaimer!
She'll end up being the Satan's number proclaimer.
Yeah, she can take my role.
Or she'll be cooking meth in the woods with those alien hunters, or ghost hunters.
Yeah. But that's an interesting little tidbit. 12 kids, all boys. Go figure. All right, and another quick little odd news tidbit here that's pretty interesting. Italian authorities. Oh, here we go, Italian.
There you go, Italian, yeah.
Italian authorities have said that a convicted mobster has been arrested in Great Britain after eluding capture for 19 years.
Wow.
Yeah. This is yeah, a little bit. Domenico Rancandori, 64 years old, was the former head of the Trabia crime family in Palermo.
There you go.
Sorry. He was arrested Wednesday at the London home that he shares with his British wife. So, there you go. Rancandori fled Italy to escape serving a 7-year prison sentence for multiple organized crime-related charges. He has been on Italy's most wanted list since 1994.
Wow.
Authorities say that Rancandori had been running a travel agency in London and was still collecting, quote, his teacher's pension fund from Italy.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, of course it's a pension fund.
He was teaching people how to make a living.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Teaching
them the business.
The business, the family business.
Yeah.
Teaching them the family business. Yeah. Don Rancandori.
Does sound like a Don name.
Yeah, Don Rancandori. I like that.
So, there you go. He was found in London.
Good. That's where all Italian people flee to, I guess.
No, that makes sense because nobody would think to look there.
Yeah.
You know? Pretty smart, but not quite smart enough.
Yeah. He should have fled somewhere further away.
Zimbabwe.
I was going to say Greenland.
I don't know. Wait. Are you lost? Are you lost in the woods and need methamphetamine, but you also need to hide from the Italian authorities? Come to Zimbabwe. I don't know why I picked Zimbabwe.
I don't know why you threw the meth story in there either. You really like meth, don't you?
I was trying to meld as many stories as I could into one there. And I got one last story for you here.
Okay.
All right. This one doesn't have to do with drugs.
Really?
How do you like that? I got rid of all the drug stories out of the way.
I don't know, man. It might need to have drugs in it.
Well, this guy, we're going to follow the case of Thomas Langenbach.
Oh, a case.
The case of Thomas Langenbach.
Okay.
Despite the fact that this guy, Thomas Langenbach, had a high-profile job as a tech vice president in Silicon Valley. Pretty high-end job we're talking about
here.
Yeah. Thomas Langenbach risked it all because he wanted to steal thousands of dollars worth of Legos from Target stores.
Wait. Couldn't he have just bought them?
He could have.
What was his position?
Vice president of a tech company.
You're vice president of a tech company and you don't have money to buy Legos?
Langenbach was convicted of burglary last Monday after he pleaded no contest in exchange for prosecutors dropping 3 other counts against him because the Lego enthusiast was able to fool Target stores because he stuck his own barcodes on toy boxes that contained Legos that he wanted over the existing barcodes on the box.
That's actually pretty impressive.
Yeah. His fake barcodes allowed him to get the products at a much cheaper price.
Did nobody notice?
No.
Like, boy, this set has like 1,000 Legos in it, but it only costs $4. That can't be right.
Investigators discovered that a massive cache of Legos at Langenbach's $2 million home.
Really?
Yeah.
Come on.
He has a $2 million home.
And you can't buy Legos.
And you can't buy Legos.
Maybe you should have bought a cheaper home and then spent the rest of the money on the Legos.
Yeah.
Maybe you should have built the house out of the Legos. Hey, that's an idea.
He would take the Legos and then sell it on eBay. He wanted more money. Despite,
you have a $2 million home.
Despite his sizable income and enough Legos to last a lifetime, Langenbach continued his scam because he went to the internet to sell off his stolen goods under the eBay handle Tom's Brickyard. According to records, Langenbach made off with more than $30,000 off of the eBay profits alone.
Wow. Yeah, but you know what? That pales in comparison to his salary, probably.
For the crime, he's going to serve a couple months in jail, followed by 5 months of house arrest, and then 3 years probation, all because he wanted to scam Legos.
He could have very easily avoided that entire situation.
You know, just by paying for them.
Yeah, paying for them. You know, maybe take a little of the money you spent on your $2 million home and spend it towards your Lego fetish or whatever you got going on over there.
Whoa, what? It's a Lego fetish?
Wait, how many Legos did he steal? It was like, would you say like thousands?
It says just a massive cachet, and he made off with more than 30 grand off of the profits off of eBay.
That had to have been a lot of Legos.
Yeah.
To make 30 grand off of them.
Just, yeah, and he really couldn't do it. You couldn't just buy Legos.
I know.
And there you go. That is what I have in this week's non-fortune cookie odd news.
That's just unbelievable. You got poor guys making meth in the middle of the woods in a cold, dark night trying to make a living. And you got this guy wasting his time by stealing Legos.
Yeah.
What are your priorities, people?
Yeah. Go out and investigate the paranormal activities.
Get a real job, like meth cooker.
Yeah. All right. And that is what we have in the non-fortune cookie odd news.
Oh, boy.
Woo. Good segment there.
That was a fun segment.
All right, I think now it's time to do our newest addition
That's
to the
right.
Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Our new segment.
It's time for What Have We Learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, children, gather around.
We're
going to see what we've learned on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
All right, Mike, what do you got?
Well, we have learned that I should not be in charge of naming baseball teams.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was not one of my finer moments.
No.
We also learned, you actually revealed, that Sony is beginning to sell meth in their PlayStation 4s.
I broke the story
you
on
broke
that.
I'm breaking news. It was great.
I can't believe I broke that story. I thought everyone knew.
Well, now they do. Rich, do you have anything to tell the children?
Apparently, Mike thinks that if you have more than 10 boys, you need to kill yourself.
Yes, guilty as charged. I have said that on the air.
Teddy bears, when you look at teddy bears on drugs, they are actually spoons.
Yes, yes, of course. Can't you see the resemblance?
Yeah.
One is fluffy and brown, and the other is short and metallic.
Yeah.
Plain as day.
Yeah. And was there anything else?
Well, I have you really like meth here, but I think we've covered that enough.
Thanks, Mike. And there you go. That is what we have learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Woo.
Oh,
there you go.
You know, I like that segment at the end.
Yeah, it's a nice little wrap up.
Our informational segment.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That was a sigh of relief. Oh, man.
Yeah, between the spoon and the meth, I...
Between the spoon and the meth. It's been a rough day for Rich at the office. He had to contend with a spoon and some meth. And pronouncing words.
Yeah.
Which was also very stressful. Well, it's a good thing that we've come to the end of our 23rd episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. And that means the celebration music plays.
Yep, it's time to end the show when the celebration music comes on. What a show, Mike.
Oh, another great one in the books.
Yep. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want to see more of the Crispy Noodle Podcast, make sure you go to the website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure you check out our Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter, @TheCrispyNoodle.
Of course, you can also subscribe to us on YouTube to get some highlight videos of our episodes. But make sure, most importantly, to subscribe to us on iTunes, where you get the latest podcasts downloaded straight to your computer, phone, tablet, MP3 player, whatever you want to listen to it on.
That's right. If you want to follow us individually, I am @RichLiebig, RichLiebig.
And I'm @MikeyCostanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And there you go. That'll do it for this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. What a show, Mike.
Oh, what a show.
Yes, indeed. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
That's right.
That'll do it for us. Mike, go enjoy your vacation.
Thank you, Rich.
Happy birthday, Amanda.
Happy birthday.
And that'll do it for us. I'm Rich Liebig.
And I'm Michael Costanzo.
We'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
Later.
Spoon!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
During this fight, I've seen a lot of changing. But if I can change, you can change. Everybody can change!